Hello, everyone. It's Alex the Fool.
And Matt the Fan.
We're sorry, we have not been speaking to you for a few months now.
We were very upset with you, but we forgive you and we're back.
Please don't say those things. we have no fan base to lose. Anyway, we both got very busy. There was a few things that happened. It's mostly my fault for not being available to do it.
Yes.
The reason I'm telling you this is because the episode you're about to listen to, we recorded 3 months ago.
Yeah, it was February.
So the news that Matthew's about to tell you, Doctor Who news, is 3 months old. So just keep that in mind.
But also keep in mind, it's still about the 60th anniversary. So nothing's really changed.
Because nothing's really happened since.
That's right.
That is true for this episode and the next episode to come. And then once we're in the second half of
The Faceless Ones.
We're back in real time.
Enjoy.
Love you.
This episode is brought to you by
Free Crab.
Free Crab.
Alex.
Matthew.
You love seafood.
I really do.
You really do?
I can actually honestly answer the question this time. That's a thing I like.
You like going to the coast of whatever country we live in and getting a nice juicy crab.
Yes, sure.
How would you like a giant one?
That would be great, I think.
So recently, I don't know if you've heard, but there was a mass destruction of giant crabs.
Oh.
And so what they've decided to do in the short term is cook them up and serve them to you.
Ooh, tasty.
So if you would like a giant, slightly poisoned crab.
Sorry, what was that?
No, it's nothing. They're delicious. They got giant claws.
Okay.
The claw would feed a family. It might kill three of them, but it's fine.
Oh, what?
Nothing.
Okay.
If you would like that, go to...
Don't tell me these are like those macro terrors.
Ooh.
Oh.
You have to go to Planet and get it.
Where's Planet?
Planet, it's Earth colony on our planet. You have to find your own way there. But if you get there on your own, free crab.
It's free crab.
And if you rock up to the waiter and say, I'm just a fool looking for a crab, they'll give you a second crab for half price.
For your second family.
It won't definitely kill any of them. We're good.
Well, what was that?
Nothing. Bye.
Oh, bye.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to the Fan of the Fool, everyone. I'm the Fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm the Fool, Alex Cameron.
Alex Cameron.
Matthew Antonelli.
All right, so I did some things this week because I didn't think there's that much news. There's just things that are about to happen with the David Tennant. There's nothing really happening just yet, but I went on this thing, and this is all the rage right now.
It was all the rage. So did this happen 30 years ago when the last time that expression was used?
You know how I love Doctor Who audio plays?
Yes.
So there's this thing at the moment called ChatGPT. Have you heard of that?
No.
So it's this thing, right, where you just type in...
Is this an AI text thing?
Yes.
Ah.
So what I typed in was, and this will lead into my spoiler-free review of an audio play.
Ooh.
I wrote, write a big Finnish audio script. So how would you like to hear some of this script, because it's too long for me to say all of it. I'll give you the synopsis.
Give me the synopsis, but did it understand what you wanted?
It's a script, it only has a few characters.
But they are Doctor Who related.
Yeah, well, the Doctor's called the Doctor.
Okay.
And his companion's just called Companion.
Okay.
So, but it got the tone right.
Yeah.
So the Doctor and Companion, they land on a planet.
So far so good.
And the companion's like, where are we? And the Doctor says, I have no idea. That's half the fun. And they go outside.
So far so good.
So far so good. And they end up on a planet where chess is like the favored sport of the planet.
Okay.
So they've created an entire civilization based on the game, it says here. That sounds interesting, but why are we here, says the companion. And then the Doctor says mysteriously, I have a feeling that there's more to this planet than meets the eye. I have a hunch that something is amiss.
So far, so good.
And so they go about, like, they just kind of, like, they come across a guard who's like, we've never seen you before.
Yes.
But they don't get imprisoned.
They don't? Ooh.
They don't, not at this point.
I'm not sure about that.
The guard says, the Doctor says, can I just have a look around because I feel like something's going to go wrong. He actually says, "My name is the Doctor, and this is my companion," and it says, "Companion's name," in brackets.
Okay, so it's leaving it up to you.
Yes. The Doctor's, like, having a bit of fun, and, like, it says, "Sound of chess pieces moving in the background."
That's very detailed.
And then the Doctor figures out that the chess pieces are moving like real people. So they're like, they're playing chess with real people.
Oh, okay.
And then they have to put a stop to it.
Why? That sounds amazing. Is it like some sort of weird cruel thing? No, it's like
killed.
Oh, so if you lose a piece, you lose the life.
Yes. That's what's happening here.
I see.
But my favorite bit is Act 3. So it says, it goes, "Doctor," determinedly, "your move, villain's name," in brackets. "Villain," arrogantly, "I see you figure out my little scheme, but it's too late. I've already won." The Doctor confidently says, "I won't be too sure about that. I've got a few tricks up my sleeve." Sounds of a struggle. And the last line is, "Companion, Doctor, you did it. You've defeated them."
But we don't know how. It just says he won the struggle.
Yeah. If you want, I also did this one, which I thought you would enjoy. Write an iconic speech for the first Doctor. It says, "My dear friends, I am the Doctor, and I have traveled through time and space to be here with you today." It's doing like a TED Talk situation.
Right.
"I've seen the wonders of the universe and the horrors that lurk within it, but I've also seen the kindness and compassion of humanity, and it is that which gives me hope. For you see, we are not alone in this vast expanse. We are all connected through time and space. And it's through our actions that we can shape the future. We must not be afraid to stand up against oppression and injustice, for it is only standing together that we can truly be free. So I urge you, my dear friends, to be bold and to be brave. Together we can change the course of history and create a brighter future for all. The universe is waiting for us, and I, for one, can't wait to see what lies ahead. Thank you."
Quite generic, but it fits.
Right, a conversation from the 11th and 12th Doctors. Yeah, I did a few of these.
Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of...
Audio plays.
Go on.
So Nicholas Briggs performs Forever Fallen.
So he's the actual voice doing it.
No, Nicholas Briggs is the one of the executive producers of all of these. He's also the voice of the Daleks.
Oh,
in Modern Doctor
Who. Oh, I see.
But he's a good actor. He's an actor, so he can do this.
Okay. He can do this.
He can do this.
It's okay.
And this is another one of those ones. You remember last week I did one where... Oh, no, last week I did... I'm going to talk to you about last week's one again. I love it. But this one was... It's another one of those ones where someone wrote in for a competition, and it
yes,
won.
Yes, yes, yes.
So this is about the time that the Doctor met a villain who was, like, on the cusp of doing something evil. Well, his intentions weren't that evil to start with. So right. He's like, there's a problem. I'm just going to brainwash everyone for a minute and make them do the right thing.
Okay.
And the Doctor rocks up and he's like, you probably shouldn't brainwash people. Because it starts like this. And then you're like, you'll keep them because you'll think that you know best.
Right.
And the villain's like, I don't know if that's... You know, I think I know what I'm doing. And the Doctor says, why don't you just wait a year and think about it? And the guy's like, that doesn't sound unreasonable. So he doesn't do his big evil thing. Right. He leaves it, like, he still has the machine all set up. But he catches up with the Doctor a year later for a cup of tea. And the Doctor's there with Ace. You know how sometimes I talk about Ace?
Yeah.
Don't do that. She's great. She's... Ace.
Yeah, that's what I'm not looking forward to.
Hang on, we gotta get that snap right. Ace.
Oh no.
Really?
With the finger guns. Oh man.
Just picture the finger guns.
Just picture the finger guns.
And anyway, he's all like, yeah, I guess things aren't that bad now. And like he got a job as like a garbage man pretty much to start with. And anyway, I don't wanna like... I'll spoil it a little bit. So if you're someone who's like... There's time codes in the description, by the way.
Yes, so you can skip all of our nonsense.
Yeah. So he goes back and they have tea together every year.
Oh.
And so at first he's like a garbage man. And then he's like... They realize that he knows science-y stuff pretty well. So he kind of moves up the ladder a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then... But he's always like... Talking... Like... he thought that the Doctor was telling him to wait a year as like a threat. Like, if you don't stop now, I'll stop you. Which is kind of what the Doctor does say. But he does. They've never met before. But he just sort of takes him at his word that he will stop him.
Right.
And so you kind of get like a year update of like he's all grumpy and stuff, and then he's in a job that he doesn't really like, but then he gets passed over for promotion and all that stuff happens, and then he meets a woman and they get married and he has a kid and then they get separated, and so like you just getting like that life ongoing. So him and his wife split up and he's all like, I could have used that brainwashy thing to make her stay with me and all that kind of thing.
Is this a villain that you've heard of before? No. This is a brand new character. Villain. Right.
And then he ends up using his machine because the place that he's going to go, that he lives in, is going to get invaded. So he uses it to stop the invaders and puts them all in prison. And he has, the next time he sees the Doctor for tea, he's like, I'm not sure if that was the right thing to do because I've now used it and it didn't feel right. And the Doctor's like, you've saved your civilization. No one got killed, so that's kind of good.
Right.
And you stop using it immediately. So I guess, you know.
I mean, who's he to lecture people on manipulating
timelines?
When he
was going
to
throw some
timelines.
Oh, yes, yes. So he becomes this, the savior of the city, of the planet that he lives on. And so he's this big hero. He gets to, it's like 50% custody of his kid again, and everything seems to be going all right. And then, so this is big spoiler times.
Uh-oh.
So a journalist is like, hey, how come you already had a brainwash machine ready to go?
No one thought about this. That's a good point.
And then, so he admits to everything. He just says, I didn't end up using it, but I built it for this purpose. And then I decided not to use it. And then I used it for this purpose.
Right.
But Ace and the Doctor have this little back and forth at the very end, because he gets arrested because you shouldn't build a brainwash machine, apparently.
Right.
And she's like, what would have happened if we didn't come here? And the Doctor says, well, he would have tried to brainwash everyone. I would have stopped him and he would have been in prison. And he might have gone and still like had a family or whatever, but that would have been delayed. And Ace was like, well, then what was the point of us coming here? The Doctor was like, he was always going to end up in prison, but the point was for his daughter, because if life had gone on the way it would in the original way, she would have become evil.
Oh, okay.
And that's apparently was going to be worse.
Yeah.
So the Doctor's like, what was meant to happen to him? This is like where it gets all like timelines and blah, blah, blah.
Hmm.
The Doctor's like, what was meant to happen to him was like always going to happen. The details are just a bit like whatever.
Hmm.
But what was going to happen to her was like in flux. So he's like, so she still has to make decisions, but she's got a much better chance of like a good life happening now.
Right.
And Ace is like,
there you go.
They fly away. Pretty good. At first I was like, this is okay. And then when it starts to like ramp up towards the end, you're like, I'm on board.
Yeah.
I give it a Paul McGann, I reckon.
What's that?
An 8 out of
13. So, okay.
Yeah. Well, more than better than average.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Righto.
I just bought this as well.
Oh, right.
So I'm going to listen to that for next week.
Ooh, well, we should say, because this is an audio.
It's called Doctor Who, The Early Adventures After the Daleks.
And it's Carol Ann Ford.
Yep.
As Scream herself.
Well, it's supposed to be...
And the man...
So, yeah, I read the synopsis. So, it's supposed to be just the Doctor's gone and the Daleks have been defeated. And it's from that point.
When they're still on.
Where she's still in. She's been left with an adult, man, to be her husband.
On
probably.
Earth in whatever year it was.
And there's a robot man in the background.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's how. Yeah, it's clearly just after that. That's interesting that they've finally done like a direct sequel story to that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You ready?
Such ready.
Was it?
Doctor Who?
Who? It's a big long speech.
Okay.
I made some cocoa and got engaged.
I know what that's from because we joked about it last week. It's Doctor Who and the hot old woman in the Aztecs.
Last week, did we?
We joked about the hot old woman.
To be honest, I knew you would get the Doctor Who part, but I was like, will he remember that's from the Aztecs?
Yes, it's from the Aztecs, and it's him talking to his companions about him and the hot old woman. So that's 2 points for me. I'm ahead now.
You what? Okay, next week I'll make it harder.
That's one of my favourite moments that I've seen. Why would I not know that?
I don't know. But I had an idea.
Go on.
And if you don't like it, you can cut all this out.
Okay.
I think we could just straight up make it Doctor Who and do when was it Doctor Who. So it's always a quote, but it's about where is it from.
Okay. And it's from something I've seen so far, though.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, as the podcast goes on...
It will go further back.
It'd be so much harder.
Imagine if in, like, 3 or 4 years we're up to, like, modern-day Doctor Who, I'm like, I made some cocoa and got engaged. And you're like, I have no idea.
I think I'd still remember. But it will be interesting. You know what's funny is... That means that this segment has evolved from...
Is it Doctor Who?
Was it
Doctor Who?
When? When is Doctor Who?
When was it Doctor Who?
What are we going to call it?
Who quotes?
No, it's got to fit that thing. Let's just say when was Doctor Who? Because it is a show about time. And it's,
yes. All right, let's get on to this.
We should probably do this.
Wait, are we doing this today's episode now?
Well, was there anything else?
No.
Then yes.
The Macra Terror.
The Macra Terror.
Now, first of all, how did you like how it started in black and white? And it was like, it's time for a bit of colour now.
It was very cool. I also liked how they started the story without going straight onto the intro.
Is it another cold open?
Yeah.
I think that becomes normal, which I like.
Yeah, because that's really popular now, but I would not have thought they'd do it back then.
I think, though...
That's good.
So, to the people playing at home.
Hello.
They're in the TARDIS, and the Doctor's like, I've got this thing that can kind of see the future a little bit.
Hmm.
And so they have a look at it, and there's big giant claws.
Yeah.
Snappy, snappy claws. And Polly's like, oh, that's terrifying, or whatever. And then they land.
And that's it.
That's it. Like, eventually they do those giant crabs who have sponsored this episode. Thank you very much. The crabs themselves haven't sponsored the other episode.
They're poisoned.
They do turn up in this episode.
Yes.
But it's a bit like, why was that? I don't think that bit at the start was really necessary.
I think it was really just so that at the end of the last story, they could be like, look what's coming up.
Ooh.
Do they ever use that device again?
I don't think so.
So
maybe in the classic series somewhere.
But it's not.
Nothing that I remember. But I will say, just overall before we like really get into this, this was fine.
I agree. I thought the animation was good.
Yeah.
And I think it was a solid story. There wasn't anything that I thought was really dumb. You know, sometimes characters do dumb things.
No.
But it was not amazing.
And I was kind of looking forward to it because I'd heard about this. Like, I'd heard about the Macra.
Okay.
But I was like, you know, they turn up much later. There is something quite hilarious.
So they do come back.
I don't mean later in this story.
Oh, sorry, right.
There is something kind of hilarious about a bunch of crabs, like, talking to humans and controlling them. With, like, mind control.
Yes.
Which I thought was quite funny.
It is kind of like what you might see in a kid's cartoon if it was made now.
Yeah. But for the most part, I was like, I think 4 episodes felt a bit long.
I agree.
And I was a bit like, this is fine.
It could have been 3.
It's like... Alex.
Matthew.
When we have conversations on this podcast, I like to talk about things like the Aztecs.
Yes.
Or the Romans.
I still think the Aztecs is the high point so far.
Yes.
Even considering the storylines of the Daleks in London and all that, I still think we've not reached that mark yet of the Aztecs.
No. But I also like to talk about the Romans.
As a low point?
Well, I just like to talk about things that have things to talk about.
Oh.
Or like the war machines, where it's got the big arm that just like slots going slam, 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 slam. That's quite good too.
Agreed.
So, and I was just watching this, and I was like, this is like in the middle, where it's not really amazing. So I don't feel super excited to be like, check out this thing.
Yeah.
Think about that reference. Remember when he was playing the recorder and for some reason the subtitle said flute? I don't understand.
So I was right, is what you're saying.
It's a recorder though.
Okay.
And
I missed that. I should have been looking for that.
It's just not great or bad. And right. So you're just like, it was an episode that happened.
I know exactly what you mean. And things about it, like, I don't feel like there was anything new about it. Because yeah, you
Ben's an idiot, isn't he?
Well, that's not new either.
I guess it's true.
And actually, I take back my earlier comment. There was one stupid person, and it was Ben.
Yes.
But how much of it was his fault, and we'll get to that. But can I just quickly say, there was nothing new. We've already dealt with a poison gas. We've already dealt with people being controlled in some way. We've already dealt with the idea
not
of... Not by crabs, but by two groups of people.
I literally saw the professor guy turn up. You know, the guy that's like, you should count yourself lucky that you're here and not somewhere else or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, another mad scientist.
Yes.
That's what I saw in my head.
Absolutely. And another mad scientist who later gets annoyed with the person in charge because they're like, you don't understand the science thing. Ah.
Oh, man. So I was just kind of watching it and I was like,
Yeah.
This is fine. But then... nothing happened. It was just fine.
Oh. There is one thing that was new, and maybe I'm wrong. I want you to correct me.
Was it the animation or the title sequence?
I mean, that was new. But what I was going to say is this the first story arc we've seen so far that does not end with the TARDIS leaving? Because at the end, the Doctor's in the middle of a big celebration of the people saying, thank you for saving us. And then he's like, I really should leave. And then the show ends. We almost always see the TARDIS fly off.
I think that's because, don't they say they want him to be the new pilot? And then he's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't see the TARDIS actually take off.
So maybe he's still there.
Well, I guess we'll find out in the next episode. Do you want me to find out the title of the next episode?
Well, it's season 5.
Yes.
But has there been another storyline that doesn't end with the TARDIS leaving?
What's the next one?
The Faceless Ones.
Yeah. That looks horrifying on the cover.
It actually does. It's like a zombified face of Polly, I think. But answer my question. Has there been a storyline so far that doesn't end with the TARDIS leaving?
I don't think so.
So well done. That's its achievement.
And they had a new title sequence. His face was in it. I wish it was the real one, not animated. Because then I think that would look more... interesting. Do you want to find the one where it's not animated?
No.
Just wait till you see it. There'll be a new episode with it in.
But that's another thing on the list of, thanks BBC, another first that we don't see in the actual footage of. Another first. Including the first character to die, all that stuff, all lost because the BBC is atrocious.
Actually, this episode probably could have been better. Like, I think the animation's good.
Yep.
But... I think it almost takes away from... Do you remember when we watched the one where they went on the planet?
Can you narrow it down? There's only one that wasn't...
There were wobble thingies, which she gave them like a funny name. They
trumbled. Oh, the Chumblies.
The Chumblies.
Yes.
And you remember we watched that first episode and it was fine, but then when you watched the live action one... like, everything kind of kicked into gear.
Absolutely.
You were like, oh my gosh, William Hartnell's really in this.
And the woman who played the villain was so good. And yeah. You didn't get that in the animation.
You lose all the, like... like, I know they animated the facial features and that, and the movements. But there was also a bit in one of these scenes where the guards were patting down the Doctor and Jamie for, like, if they had weapons on them. And it was just literally like...
yeah.
And I was like...
like, right. Stick figures with arms. Kind of like that statue. Remember that creepy statue that used to grab people?
Grabbed Barbara's butt or something.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I mean, I think it probably lost. But then I don't know how the crabs would have looked. the macro would have looked.
That's a good point. Yeah. We don't know. Oh, question. Why does she have short hair all of a sudden? And then it looks like next story arc she doesn't. Because I was going to say...
I don't know if that's her.
Oh, that's a good point. But I was going to say...
Also, time. Am I right? Get a haircut and then maybe a few weeks, years later. Who knows?
Okay. What I was going to say is I thought maybe they made her hair short because it was going to be easier for the animation if they just pretended she suddenly had short hair.
Yeah. So what they did in the 60s is they were like, we know this is going to get animated, so could you cut her hair?
No. What I'm suggesting is that in the original she had a regular hair, but for the animation they thought, let's just act as if it's short because we've lost the footage. Who knows? We can't
go with those free flowing locks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you say that? Like... a 70-year-old uncle who's judging his niece's hair.
That's alright. There he is, though. Everyone's watching.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad it was animated, because it actually doesn't look like it would have been much better.
Maybe it would have been better than the War Machines.
Yeah...
So they land... Okay, I'm gonna let's streamline this a little bit.
Let's streamline it because it's not it's an okay story, but it's not worth getting into the
nitty gritty.
No.
So they rock up to a fairly odd civilization, I guess, but they land outside, and this guy, I've got Medoc.
Medoc with a bowl cut.
It was a good bowl cut. I was like, one of the Beatles has escaped.
It's because he can't stand the music inside.
So Medoc goes is escaped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of my very first notes on this was okay. So I'll read out my notes as so. Cold open, nice. New tile sequence in colour animation, good. I like how it morphed into colour. Why did Ben tackle that guy? And why do they all try to capture him?
Yes, I don't understand that.
So he... because they're all wearing the same clothes in that colony.
Yeah.
So he wasn't wearing, a prison outfit. Or any kind of thing that would give him away as, a criminal. But he appears, and the first thing Ben says is, I've got him. And just, runs at him. And it's like... you don't know... You've landed on someone else's planet.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on here.
He could be running from a creature.
Yep. Maybe you should run with him. Maybe you should be it's safe inside this box.
Yep.
Find out some more information.
How many times have they befriended someone who's trying to escape from something or someone else?
Every time.
So why they've just decided this time, this guy with a bowl cut looks shady.
But I think it's Ben's fault because he's an idiot.
Yes. That theme continues.
I think he went time... because you remember the other episodes we watched with the fish people?
Yes.
And Ben and Jamie had quite a good adventure together. I think it's because he's near Polly and he's all like, I'll protect you, Polly, because I'm a man.
Yeah.
And so he tackles an innocent person.
Yep. That's what women like.
And Jamie's like, I'll join in. Yeah. But then some people rock up. Is it Ola?
Ola.
Ola, and he's all like... actually, I don't know if that one's Ola. Is it that one Ola, or is the pilot Ola?
No, I think that's... I could be wrong. I thought that was Ola, and the pilot's just called the pilot, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, it is Ola. The pilot is just called the pilot.
And Ola is like the chief of police.
Pilot. I don't think he is, but it's fine. The pilot of the colony compliments Barney, the band's leader. Oh, because they love music there as well. They love music.
And they love music that's like, we love work and work makes us happy. And everyone's like, oh.
End of shift one, it's time for shift two. That kind of thing.
Because they're being mind controlled to enjoy working.
Don't give away the interesting plot.
Oh, I missed that. When did that happen?
Everyone, I'm a big fan of Doctor Who. Just remember all that.
And I'm about it.
Well, it says the Doctor, Ben, Polly, and Jamie... Ben and Jamie subdue Ola. No, sorry, subdue...
Medoc.
Medoc. And Ol was like, thank you so much. We'll take this guy. We're forever in your debt or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, it's at this point when they go into the colony and they're the commander. Is it called the commander?
Yeah.
The controller, sorry.
Oh, sorry, the controller.
Is like, there should be guests in our colony. But if you were a mind-controlling crab...
Yeah.
And something new entered your well-controlled environment, you'd just kill that thing, I reckon.
Yeah, or banish them.
I know that doesn't work for Doctor Who, because that's, like, lots of times. Like, why didn't the Daleks just straight-up shoot him the next time they see him? It's because they want to be a bit, like, hey, check out how evil we're being.
That yeah, kind of it's like a Bond villain thing, where it wouldn't work if they just went, bang, shot in the head.
I literally watched an episode... Because I was watching Doctor Who the other day, as I do,
mm-hmm.
and there was a Dalek, and it was like, you're going to be exterminated, and the Doctor's like, what's the point of that? And the Dalek was like, huh. Like, it was still going to kill him, but it kind of, like, stopped for a second, and I gave the Doctor a chance to be like, blah, 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 big speech. And then it was like, nah, I'm still going to be evil. But then he had bought himself time to kind of get away. You know,
bought himself
time. Whereas you'd think you'd just shoot him, just kill him.
Yeah.
But then he'll just like explode and turn into another person, I guess, so.
That is a good point. That does clear up those kind of
you're questions. Like, I can deal with this one. Can I deal with the next one?
Yeah, that's right. Don't let him morph. Mighty Morphin Doctor.
There's a line where we're just going to bounce around a bit. Okay.
It's going to be more interesting than if we just read the plot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, just to summarize the plot, they go to this... The Doctor, Jamie... Well, Jamie, I think, is the first one who's, like, this, like, weird about this place.
Yeah, he wakes up in the middle of the night and realizes they're being brainwashed in their sleep through audio.
Which, narratively makes sense, I guess, because he's from a time period where, like, this should freak him out anyway.
Yes.
So, he's just, like... I don't want to succumb to anything. Whereas Ben's from when they built a computer machine.
Yeah.
So he knows...
A computer machine?
You know, the one that's all like...
Oh, yes.
People at home can't see this, but I'm just doing the arm thing. No lateral
movement. What were those things called again? The war machines.
Yeah, it's called the war machines. But
not the computer machines.
The one in charge was called... Something door or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, whatever.
Doesn't matter. Anyway... So some stuff happens and, eventually the Doctor stays and does some maths to solve it, save the day.
Yeah.
And Ben and Polly and Janie are sent down to some gas mines because that's what's really going on here. Because I'm guessing that the giant crab things, Macra, need that gas for themselves.
Yes.
That's why they're mining it. And that's why they use the people. And yep. This whole time, Ben gets brainwashed by them to follow the rest of the group. And they seem to brainwash them by using the music and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, there's a moment where they're trying to decide who should do what jobs. And they say to the Doctor, Jamie, you guys are going to go do labor. While Polly does, I guess she would do the maths or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jamie's like, you can't make, like, a girl and an old man do labor. And the Doctor's like, I'm not an old man.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say to you, maybe they hadn't worked it out at that point. Or maybe he was being cheeky.
He might have been cheeky. I guess he was, what would we say? He was, like, four in his late 40s when he started doing this. Patrick Troughton, I mean. So I guess he...
Oh, I meant in terms of the Doctor and how old the Doctor is.
I guess so.
Like 2,000 years old or something?
But if he regenerates, I guess his body isn't that old.
Yeah, okay. But you're saying it's about him as an actor and how old
he is. Well, I was like, he doesn't really look old. I mean, he looks...
No, he looks older than 40, though.
Yeah, late 40s.
Yeah, I would not have thought he was 42, for example.
But, no, he's doing all right. I can tell you some of the supposed names for this show.
What do you mean the supposed names?
Yeah, it's called the Macra Terror.
Yeah.
The first name that it was going to give was the Spider-Man.
So they're going to be spiders instead of crabs.
Doesn't say that.
Oh, I was just going to call them spiders, but that was still be crabs.
Remember the web planet? Where were the webs?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
What else have I got? I've got the Doctor does a little runaway to investigate.
Yes.
I put the recorder returns at 18 minutes in the first episode, but the captions call it a fluke.
I'm right.
So there's a part where the Doctor lets MEDOC out to, like, he wants to know what's going on.
He realizes that maybe MEDOC is the only person in the colony who's not just purely a brainwashed nobody.
And so he goes to talk to him, and the guards are like, you can't do that or whatever. And they arrest the Doctor and MEDOC. And MEDOC says, I convinced the Doctor to cover for me.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, okay, that's fine. The Doctor's free to go. You know, like, I don't want to look into that at all. I don't know. Unless the crabs are like, his brain's so smart, we could use that smart brain for our crabness.
We could use that smart brain for our crabness.
Yeah.
If they just said one line like that, it would make so much more sense.
There was a scene that I thought would be kind of creepy if it was in without animation. Mm-hmm. And that's when Brainwashed Ben is looking for Polly and, like, he follows her.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit where his hand comes around a corner and he's like, gotcha. Ugh. It's like, ah.
Yeah, that would have been pretty weird.
The Doctor tries to sacrifice himself. So he's like, I'll go down to gas things. And Polly, you stay here and do math things. And then Jamie's like, this is your element.
He used an actual screwdriver in the show.
Yes. Not a sonic one, though.
No, but like...
We're getting there.
No, I'm not upset about the sonic screwdriver not being a thing, but do you think it's just a pure coincidence that the one tool he used in this episode was a screwdriver?
Yeah, I don't know.
And or do you think they looked back at the Macrotera and said, this is the blueprint, the tool has to be called a screwdriver from now on?
I did like how he solved that math thing. I'm not sure how real that was, but I couldn't follow it. But he did that, and then they came in, they're like, oh, someone must have told you this thing. And he's like, no, I'm just really smart. And then he was told to wash it off. Anyway, it was a good scene. Jamie escapes the old shaft. In episode 4, I've literally just put, love the singing practice, and giant crab's working machinery is hilarious.
Yes, it is.
There's a crab that was hollowing a tube, and it was like moving it along. And I was like, ah, it's good. I just think... Look, I just think it could have been better. How could it have been better, Alex?
Well, I think for starters, if the crabs had said something about realizing how smart the Doctor was and wanting to capture him and learn from him, that would make it even 1% more interesting.
They did talk about how the crabs are like, they were like a virus or like a bacterial infection.
Yeah.
In someone's body. Like they've infected the colony.
Right, right.
I just think it... So, because you don't learn a lot of backstory about this. You just kind of... I mean, that's like any Doctor Who episode, I guess, though. You just rock up at a point in time.
Yeah.
And so I think what happened is they landed on this planet and built their colony, and the crabs were already there.
Yes.
And they've just gone... You know, found people who can get us more of this delicious gas.
Yes.
So they brainwashed them. I'm not exactly sure how the brainwashing began, because the crabs are talking to the people through like a puppet. Like it's a face, it's just a still image of a face talking.
Of a person who was supposedly their
controller.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they would get to that point. And they'd obviously captured a real... Like, maybe there's more of those actual people out there. Because they had one of them... They're like... The Doctor or someone was like, that's just a still image. Show us the controller for real talking. And they're like, here he is.
Yeah, and it's like something you see in one of those videos of a
hostage being forced to say things to the camera.
And he was literally said to one of the crabs, am I allowed to talk? Am I supposed to talk? And then they killed him on camera. But then the brainwash must have been so strong because everyone was like, I didn't see a crab.
Well, that's the thing is...
It's a lot of gaslighting.
They're told to, yes.
A lot of gas.
Lighting. Which happens at the end. That's how the Doctor saves the day, is he actually does light the gas.
Yeah, it blows up everything.
Well, he gets someone else to do
it. I blinked for a minute. I'm not sure what happened. I blinked for a whole minute.
That's weird. That's not a blink. That's just closing your eyes. He told Jamie, I think it was, to press a couple of buttons and everything exploded. So that's not a great system. Any system where if you just press these two things and everything explodes and we all die.
There was a cool moment where he's obviously trying to work out to do that. And he says to Polly, go over there and see what the reading is on the first meter.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientist guy there is clearly working on something that he doesn't want people really to look at. And she just walks over and she's like, and she walks back. And the doctor's like, all right, now go look at the second one. So she has to go back over and come back. And so she's like, the first one had full pressure and the second one had no pressure and blah, blah, blah. And I think from there he worked out how to blow up everything.
Yeah.
But it was just, look, it was fine.
It's better than some of the ones we've seen. But like you said, you can't even get upset about it being bad. So it's just kind of...
I just think there could have been, you know, like, I guess they're not as iconic as, like, if this had been like a Dalek kind of situation.
Of them brainwashing a colony.
Yeah. You might have thought, well, we didn't get all the answers here. But we might get them the next time we see them.
Well, maybe it was supposed to come back and then they just thought, let's not.
Everyone was like, we don't like giant crabs. Unless you put a bit of herb garlic butter on them. Delicious.
Delicious. What a weird side note, just for no reason. We love crabs are nice to eat.
I should probably point out that I don't like crabs.
Oh.
To eat crabs.
Okay.
So if we go to this place on another planet,
yes,
you can have the crabs.
You're just saying that because I'll be the only one poisoned then, won't I?
I'll have just standard fish and chips.
Well,
do you guys have fish and chips? No. We've got
some burnt corpses of people. Because it can't have just been crabs that exploded. That makes no sense. There must have been at least some people who died. Because that guy who was caught by them and used as a puppet...
He dead.
Well, are there others? They're all dead too.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Let's get back in the box and fly away, hey?
Well, they haven't done that yet.
I do think it takes a while for the Doctor to... Because the modern interpretation of Doctor Who is like a man who... Or woman. Who never kills, really.
Yes.
And... There are times where they do, but they never...
It's like, not flippant. Not
yeah, there's more weight to it.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a lot of death in these early years.
Mm.
And sometimes, like, you know, there was a time when... was it the last Cyberman one where there was just like a slow pan of all these dead bodies on the floor?
Yes.
Like, imagine watching that.
No, that was Daleks. That was
Daleks.
Yeah. The master plan?
The Daleks master plan.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know, that doesn't... I mean, there's still lots of death in modern Doctor Who, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, particularly when the series comes back, there's a cold open. It's normally someone getting killed in some way. But, like, the Doctor himself... There's more weight to the decisions he makes about death.
Right.
Whereas this is just like, I'm going to blow up this thing. Now we're out of here. You know, like, it's just a bit casual. And I think that's also something that involves... I know we're just talking about whatever now, because this doesn't really have a lot to talk about. But I think the other thing that involves is there's more weight to the ending where he leaves.
Oh, right.
Like, I think about ones like the Ark, you know, when they're in space and there was the two groups, like... The humans were in charge at first, but they're like slave people.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the next time the Doctor, Vicky and Steven had landed, it had flipped. So the slaves were in charge.
Yeah.
And then after they did the whole thing, they left and everyone was like, see you, have a good time.
Yeah.
I just think there's been a few times where the episode's just ended.
Yeah.
And they've just left.
Yep. Like the last one before this, what was that called?
Was that the underwater menace?
The moon base.
Oh, the moon base, yes.
They just left.
Yeah.
They just were like, where are you going? The doctor's literally like, we leave now, and runs. And yeah. They get in the TARDIS and go.
And look, there are definitely times, it depends on which doctor it is, but Peter Capaldi's done a few times where he's just left. But there's still a little bit more of an epilogue with the other characters.
Yeah.
Whereas this, they just seem to disappear.
Yeah.
But, you know, the 60s.
The 60s.
What are you going to give it? Are we up to that?
Sure.
Do you want me to find it? I'll do another little quick glance at trivia. The guy that wrote this was Ian Stuart Black. He wrote three episodes, three stories. So he wrote this and The War Machines.
Oh, okay.
So there's some continuity there.
Which I thought was better.
It was better than this. And he wrote The Savages, the one that we didn't want to see.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
So,
nice. Although, if it ever gets found and remade, we'll have to watch it.
Yeah. Anywho, what are you giving this?
I'm going to have to give it a 7.
That's, like, average. That's, like, in the middle.
Yeah, because I didn't think it was bad, but it was just bland.
Yeah, bland. I agree with bland.
Without being bad. It was competent.
I guess it's like any season of a show. Sometimes you have an episode that's just to get to the next episode.
Yeah. And it kind of felt like they were like, let's finish off season 4. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it wasn't like that back in the day. I don't know.
I suppose it's different. Like now, like any show, this isn't just Doctor Who, but most shows have like a season long arc that kind of bubbles away in the background. And so, like, if a season of a show goes for, like, 20 episodes or 24 episodes, whatever, you'd have, like, flashpoints in there that link to that overarching arc. But then you've also just got episodes in between.
Yeah.
So, it felt like one of those ones, where it's just like, let's just get to the next bit.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of Doctor Who feels like that, but that's just because of the time it was made in.
Yeah. Sorry, the other thing I was just going to say was, this doesn't have an overarching story arc. None of these seasons do.
No, that's fair.
So that's what's missing, I think.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing really. You're just watching this and you're like, okay.
It's another enemy and another base and.
Well, I was tempted to give it a 6.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that. That's fine. Between us, it's 6.5, which is right in the middle.
Literally right in the middle.
That's right.
But, even previously, the characters would say things about earlier episodes.
Mm.
Like, for example, Ian would refer back to the fact that he fought a Jaguar warrior. That doesn't happen anymore.
No. So for trivia purposes, and people who are currently shouting at their headphones...
That's not how headphones work, by the way. We can't hear you when you do that.
No, we can hear you.
Oh.
Keep shouting. This was the last one on BritBox.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one is The Tomb of the Cybermen on BritBox. There's actually two stories before that. There's The Faceless Ones.
Oh, which
And then there's
got.
The Evil of the Daleks, which I also have.
Oh.
So how about we talk about that off air?
Yes.
And we can think about... Maybe we watch them together.
Oh, spicy.
I will say that The Faceless Ones is 6 episodes. So we could do that in 2 sessions if you like.
Well, I will raise another point. I had a quick look ahead a little bit at the next few seasons on BritBox. There's a lot of storylines that are between 6 and 9 episodes coming up. We're going to have to do a lot of half and
oh,
half.
Oh, man. You don't... The last one for Patrick Troughton...
It's like
so you say
12.
Between 6 and 9, so it's 6 consistently for a little bit.
Yeah.
But his last story is 10.
Yeah. I saw one that I knew was quite
it's
long.
Called The War Games, I think.
Okay.
And I have that on DVD too. It's like 4 discs.
Holy.
So...
We might split that up into 5 lots of 2.
5 lots of 2. Or a 4 or 4 and a 3.
Yeah.
Because in the last... Blotter 3, you'd probably have more to talk about because he's going to and turn to someone else.
Who doesn't have a flute? That's a
bonus. I got to tell you, there's a moment in that one just before he regenerates that I find so funny. Because obviously it's sad because he dies and turns into someone else.
Right.
But there's a moment where there's just before that happens where he knows he's going to turn into someone else and you're like, unnecessary. I'll tell you about it when we get there.
Oh man, this is an Easter egg I have to wait ages for now.
Anyway.
Let me just say quickly one last thing.
I've already said anyway.
Okay.
Go on.
This is the first time I wasn't just extremely annoyed the whole time by the second Doctor. I quite liked him in this story, so maybe that's one good thing I had going for him. He did lots of useful things. He didn't play the flute that much, / recorder.
Thank you.
He didn't have as many annoying lines or weird moments.
It's an interesting sound that you've just made there.
That's what he does. Okay. I thought it was quite good, and I was like, oh, I don't mind this Doctor. He's still got nothing on good old Willie.
Bill Hartnell.
Bill, yeah. But, you know.
Bill, you were born to play this part. You're a grumpy old man, but with a twinkle. Isn't that what the guy said?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
All right, people. Thank you for listening.
No other trivia? I thought you said there was quite a few things that you were like, ooh, I'll need to tell you this.
Oh, that's it.
Okay.
Joe, I'll do one more scroll through.
Sorry. I had the impression, but I might be wrong.
I think you were wrong. The only copy of the Macra Terra to not have been confirmed as destroyed is the print sent to Hong Kong. Given the Tomb of the Cybermen was recovered from the country and the Macra wasn't, its fate is mysterious. It's probably sent off to another country, or the episodes were obtained by private collectors. Imagine if you just had this, like the real version of this on like a VHS, and you were just waiting it out, and you were like, give me $50 million. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, if you're listening by chance, no one's giving you $50 million for the Macra Terra.
No, but send that to us. Just give it to us.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'll put my PO box in the episode description.
You may get a crisp $20 bill for it.
I have wanted a crisp $20 bill. When I was changing desks at work, because I got a new job, everyone,
ooh,
I found $20.
Nice.
On my desk.
I wouldn't pay the $20 for it. I'd rather have the $20.
If they send me the VHS first, I'm keeping it.
What a plan.
Fraser Hines described this story as rubbish. Actually, he described the Macra themselves as rubbish.
I didn't mind the idea of them. Oh. I just don't think it was well executed.
I got hair trivia.
Oh.
Polly sports a shorter hairstyle in this episode as a result of her makeover in the colony's refreshing department. So she must have had longer hair at the very start. She did. Because she was like, I'm going to have a great time here.
Oh, I totally forgot she had long hair at the beginning.
I even took that as a note. I'm really going to enjoy myself. I was like, you don't even know where you are.
Yeah, that's such a weird thing to say on a different planet.
Yeah, I mean, if you travel in the TARDIS to, like, I don't know, like, if you land in New York City and you're like, I'm going to have a really good time here, like, at least you've got some way of knowing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or, like, if it landed beside a beach, like, I could go for a swim, unless it's acid water like we've seen before. But, you know, she's on a completely different planet with people who are clearly a bit odd.
Yes.
And to be like, I'm going to have a great time. It's a bit like, it's a bit weird.
Because the last time they were told about a treatment facility was when they were turning people into fish people.
That is correct.
So what made her think this was going to be a lovely spa?
This isn't the end. Although some reports have suggested this reflected Annika Will's decision to restyle her own hair, resulting in her wearing hair extensions in the early scenes. Wills herself has indicated that she donned a pixie cut wig to hide her longer hair. So she didn't really get a haircut.
Okay, good, because it doesn't look very good. Life. I'm just being honest. Should have kept the long hair.
With the 2019 announcement of the Faceless Ones being animated, followed by the Evil of the Daleks.
Ooh.
This serial this serial marks the start of a 17-episode run of Anime of Reconstructions. So that's 17 episodes in a row.
Of just animation.
Yeah, but we've had, like, long runs before. When he first became the Doctor, it was animated.
Yeah, but most of them were half and half.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But it's fine. I mean, it's just flute guy. What do I care if he's animated or not? He's still going to be playing a flute.
This is the last four-part story to be incomplete. But that doesn't mean anything, because the rest of six-part episodes are incomplete.
How long is it before we get... Is it after this guy?
After this guy, I've got everything.
Okay, cool. So we're almost at the point where we're at everything.
Yeah. Because only one macro was constructed for the serial, the closing moments of episode 3, in which Jamie was menaced by two of them, had to be recorded out of sequence. So they were just like...
Two different ones.
First, John Davies taped all of the scenes involving the macro, which moved from right to left, followed by those in which moved the others from left to right.
Cool. Because crabs can only move sideways, so that makes sense. Except in this, they don't. They move forwards.
They move forwards. Well, they're not really crabs, are they? They're big crabs.
They're macros.
They're macros. Massive crabs. Macras. Macras.
Macra? Maybe that's what that massive crab... Maybe that's what macra is. You know, like Pokemon is Pocket Monster?
Mm-hmm.
These are Pokemon
like
before.
Like a Kingler. Like a Kingler.
Which is King...
There's also one in Laha. New Pokemon that looks almost like the macra, if you'd like to see it. There it is.
A Clawf. That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
There it is. It looks a bit like a macro, though.
What is just a... What's a large crab? I mean, what else is there? You say that as if it's somehow a depiction of the same monster.
Look at that background. I'd just like to point something out here. This is the last thing we're going to go through before we start to wrap up the show. Check out the textures on that. Awful. Make a better game, Pokemon.
Oh, I thought you were like, that's amazing.
No, bad. Bad. Awful. Look, what's this? Does that look like dirt to you?
No.
No. At least the Pokemon look alright.
The name Clawf is just terrible.
Because it's a crab with claws that hangs off cliffs. Clawf. Do you get it now?
Yeah. Can I also just say...
Yes.
Being amazed that it looks like a macra, because they both just somehow look like a large crab, is not impressive. And also, you may have just coined...
Continue.
You may have just coined, and not purposely for this reason, but it sounds like the way a nerd would try to compliment a girl. Look at the textures on that. Because they have no real life conversation of how to describe anything other than a video game.
If I ever up to a girl and I say, you've got good textures, I don't feel like that's going to go down very well.
Unless she thinks you're complimenting her skin complexion.
But if she's also a nerd,
she may say, ooh.
Ooh. Do you want to wrap up this show? Please hurry up.
Bye.
No, I'm gonna do the thing.
Okay,
I'm just every time.
I know, I do it on purpose. Let me finally be the one to do it this time.
Go.
Thank you for listening. We love and appreciate you. If you,
oh yeah, we do. Yeah, continue.
Okay, I love and appreciate you. Matt's just here. If you like the show or the audio, which is what the show is, why don't you tell someone? Why don't you email someone and say, hey, do you like large crabs? There's an episode of Doctor Who from 7 million years ago, and these two guys just kind of talked about the plot a little bit. Have a listen.
And then they kind of talk about a Pokemon for a bit.
I'm cutting all that out, don't worry. If you would like to know more about things... Stop doing crab faces at me. We have a link tree where you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
You know, yeah. If I meet a girl who's really into crabs, I can do that face. Linktree.
We have a Linktree. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram, TikTok. You can email us, thefanandthefool@gmail.com. We'd love to know whether you love, hate us, or have any questions that we can talk about on the show.
You can send us a DM.
Yeah, boy. we're real cool, mate. And see ya.
Next, though.
And next, we have the Faceless Ones. The
Faceless Ones.
Which looks like a zombified Polly and an angry looking second doctor.
It's got a cool bow tie, though.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how that goes.
Bye.
Bye.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity. I just reversed the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
It's reversed the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.